a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national, Twin City, and Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. On today's show, our sacred animal section of the show, Wendy Pilot was telling us about the 9/11 rescue dogs and where they are and what they went through. We also are going to be talking about the Public Utilities Commission's this past Tuesday and how they voted. And we also really want to update you all on the Wall of Forgotten Natives. You know, and then we go into our very popular segment, what we like to call, What Does My Elder Think? We will ask my elder, Curtis, on his spin on local, national, and Ho-Chunk Nation news. We are Pre-America. We are the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. For each show, we discuss on Native Roots Radio what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, native lands, and how their natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that go through our native and treaty lands. We put out tobacco for our relatives that are suffering from the alcohol and drug problem. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and way of life. We pray for our relatives that have gone through the Indian residential schools. Kill the Indian, save the man. To our missing and murdered Native women, you are not forgotten. Prayers to those who occupied Line 3. And are fighting for Line 3. My blood is as ancient as the earth I stand upon. I pre-exist America. We pray for all the brothers and the sisters at the Wall of Forgotten Natives. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Neighborhood Cafe, good food and good friends. Also by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, that was a good one. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome, beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy is an animal advocate and has been for many years. She's a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Tell us your name, Wendy.
Hi, everyone. My name is Hanajihihani, which means cares for them, and I like to always thank my Dega Curtis here, who gave me that beautiful name, so thank you very much.
Can I thank Curtis, too, because he gave me my name, too,
Wakunja
Hade, which means distant thunder, yeah. Pini Gigi.
Oh, yeah. Well-deserved names by you, too. Well-deserved name by you, too.
So today, you know, with the events of 9/11 still fresh in our minds, I wanted to share a paragraph I saw on the internet. There was no author, so I can't thank the person who wrote this, but I thought it was apropos. So 17 years ago, on September 10th, 2001, 246 people went to sleep in preparation for their morning flights. 2,606 people went to sleep in preparation for work in the morning. 343 firefighters went to sleep in preparation for their morning shift. 60 police officers went to sleep in preparation for their morning patrol. 8 paramedics went to sleep in preparation for their morning shift of saving lives. None of them saw past 10 a.m. September 11th, 2001. In one single moment, life may never be the same. As you live and enjoy the breaths you take today and tonight before you go to sleep in preparation for your life tomorrow, kiss the ones you love, snuggle a little tighter, and never take a second, one single second of your life for granted. And I thought that was really beautiful, and it was really sad for me to read that. And it's still really hard, and I'm still seeing a lot of you know, things on the internet happening, and memorials going on for 9/11.
If our audience doesn't know this, and our relatives that are listening to us, Wendy is from New York and has family from New York, Long Island, and also we have a niece who married a young man this past year whose father and uncle passed away during 9/11
in the
building.
But I'm going to be reading a blog today called Remembering the Four-Legged Heroes of 9/11 Rescue and Recovery. And it was written about a year ago by a 9/11 memorial staff. So within hours of September 11th attacks, thousands of rescue workers from across America deployed to Ground Zero to help the search and rescue efforts. Joining the endeavor were dogs, specially trained in search and rescue, police work, therapy, and comfort. It's estimated that more than 300 dogs took part in the search, rescue, and recovery efforts at Ground Zero. Search and rescue dogs, also known as SAR, specialize in disaster response skills. Trained to search and detect the scent of living humans, their mission was to find survivors buried in the rubble. The last living person rescued from Ground Zero 27 hours after the collapse was found by one of these search and rescue dogs. As the days went on, rescue and recovery workers soon realized the chance of finding survivors was slim. The rescue operations turning into a recovery mission, and cadaver dogs trained to find human remains were also on the scene. Working alongside their handlers, the four-legged heroes worked tirelessly, climbing huge piles of debris while fire still smoldered. The search for signs of life or human remains was mentally and physically taxing on the dogs, as the search dogs began to get discouraged and lose their drive to search. Aware of the importance and of the morale in these dogs, and to keep their motivation high, their handlers would stage mock finds so the dogs would feel successful and be motivated to keep searching. Veterinarians were stationed at the site to help take care of these dogs, working 12-hour shifts on the pile. These dogs needed to have their paw pads, eyes, and nose cleared often. Cynthia Otto, director of the Penn Vet Working Dog Center, and Lisa Murphy, an associate professor of toxicology and director of the Pennsylvania Animal Diagnostic Laboratory System at the School of Veterinary Medicine's New Bolton Center, were both on the ground supporting these dogs. They sat down with the 9/11 Memorial and Museum Vice President of Collections and Oral History, Museum Programs, Amy Weinstein, to talk about their experiences taking care of these extraordinary canines at Ground Zero. In addition to search and rescue dogs at Ground Zero, therapy dogs like Nikki provided comfort to the firemen and rescue workers who continued to work countless hours on the pile. They were a ray of sunshine amongst the death and debris, even if it was just for a minute. The heroism of these canines has been documented in books such as Dog Heroes of September 11th, and on Animal Planet's Hero Dogs of 9/11. June 2016 was the last known surviving search dog. Her name was Brittany, and she was laid to rest, and she was 16 years old. Despite the danger and the long days and nights that these canines put their lives on the line for us, the spirit and stories of these heroic dogs live on at the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. You know, after the attack, September 11, 2001, I had already had planned in months before that, right? My girlfriend and I and a couple of other girls were planning a New York
reunion trip.
Yeah, like a little reunion trip. And we went the end of October. And when we went, there, you know, things were still smoldering. They were still smoky, and you know, they had all the pictures of all this of, you know, the people who were looking for their loved ones up on fences, and it was really a heart-wrenching unbelievable time. And I always feel like when 9/11 comes around, and I'm sure many, many, many people feel this way, you just kind of, you know, feel, you know, sad and reflective and, you know, think about where you were. Everybody remembers, like, where they were, right?
Right. And you were, didn't go into work. You tried to get a hold of family, and they shut down all the cell phone towers.
That's right.
And you couldn't get a hold of anyone. Mm-hmm. And your father-in-law was in New Jersey.
My stepdad.
Yeah.
Yep, my stepdad was working in New Jersey, right across from the towers. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to him.
Or he lived right across
from
the towers.
He lived there in the towers. And his view was the towers.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to him. And this is the first time I knew Steve. I know Steve, you know, I knew him at that time then for 20 years. Never saw him cry ever. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time I ever heard him cry. And I was talking to him on the phone. And he could actually see people jumping out of the windows. Mm-hmm. From the towers. So, yeah. So these rescue animals really did a lot, and mm-hmm. they worked really hard to try to find survivors, and I just want to keep them in our thoughts as well.
I know, and one of the saddest things I think that I heard about our sacred animals when they had people pretend that they were alive so they wouldn't be depressed, you know, that they found somebody, because they didn't find anyone, because those towers turned people into dust.
Yep. Ashes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so thanks for listening to that. I just wanted to bring that up today.
And that's great to bring that up. We love our sacred animals, and we love our sacred animal section of the show. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Wall of Forgotten Natives coming up.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
B Resale, clothing, thrift, and consignment store located at 2613 Nicollet Avenue, Minneapolis. B Resale, where casual, secondhand men and women's clothes are bought, sold, and traded at this easygoing shop. B Resale, find jewelry, sunglasses, shoes, hats, purses, pants, shirts, and more. B Resale, where you can find Native Roots Radio I'm Awake swag. B Resale, that's a small B, period.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, Carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. The Bean Factory, just Steve's. Roasting beans one day at a time, 1518 Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. And Bee Resale, vintage and consignment, 2613 Nicollet Avenue, Minneapolis.
I always want to howl. So, hey, let's get into a sober mode here, and or somber mode, I should say.
Right.
And let's all do a little talking about the Wall of Forgotten Natives. And I think there's a couple things that have happened this week. One of the big things that's happened is our young sister, Elisa Rose, skipping the day, passed away at 26 years old at the Wall of Forgotten Natives. And I know they had a sacred fire out there that we brought wood for that the family asked to have for 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they had the sacred fire.
Spirit fire.
Spirit yep. fire, thank yep. you, Dega. Oh. And they had a board up with pictures of her and candles, and there was sage there.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said she died of an asthma attack yes. because she did not have her inhaler.
Mm.
How sad is that, that a 26-year-old, you know, she did not have medical, so she couldn't get her inhaler, and she died of an asthma attack, so that's really sad.
Right, and I think one of the things, too, is people want a point, and Wendy and I had kind of a startling experience there by at the Wall of Forgotten Natives. A person came up to us and acted like we were disgusted with what was going on, and Wendy opened up a can of New York whip on him. I don't know if I can say whip on the radio.
Good for you, Chujung. Good for you.
Yeah. Wendy, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
You know, he was on his bicycle, and he was just kind of riding up and down, and he was, you know, he came up to us, and again, like you said, he must have just assumed that we were disgusted with the things that were going on at the Wall. Meanwhile, we're bringing supplies, and we're mm-hmm. happy that people have shelter, and they mm-hmm. have something to eat, and they're able to take showers, and, you know, we're happy, and this guy kind of came up to us and just said, you know, they're doing, you know, there's drugs here and there's prostitution here and people are using heroin and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, whether that is true or not, that doesn't change the fact that these people are human beings. And he really didn't know what to say to that, but
he was kind of stunned. But, you know, it was interesting, too, because he said, oh, well, the heroin over there, and we're looking, and we had just walked by those tents, and we knew there wasn't heroin going on there.
Yeah.
There was kids in there playing. We're going to bounce back and forth here, but I know if you're interested in helping, they always need water.
Right.
And they always need ice.
James Cross said that they're going through 9 cases of water a day, you know.
Right. And there's also 5 people, what was he saying, 5 people a day or 5 tents a day? I don't remember what that was exactly. But, you know, this is nothing new. You know, this is in the shadows of a billion-dollar football stadium. When they brought the Super Bowl in here, they moved out, displaced a lot of people. And this is not a homeless problem, I want to tell you. This is a housing problem.
Yes, it is. Hey, the other thing, too, like they were saying about the drinking water, you know, it's getting to be the end of summer. And sure, it's nice and warm during the day, but, you know, out at night, it gets chilly. It's in the 50s, and they're needing something warm, too, you know. Like they're saying water would be good. A lot of water would needed, but the blankets mm-hmm. and the hoodies or jackets, because it's cold at night. And winter's creeping up on us really fast.
Right, and I think, yeah, let's just not make it a dumping ground of clothes, because let's give them some decent clothes. We kind of ran into that with Standing Rock.
Yes, we did.
People donating clothes, and it's like, I don't think I would wear these clothes.
Yeah, no. If you wouldn't wear it, then don't bring it to the wall. And make sure it's clean, you know. People deserve to put clean clothes on, and if you're bringing blankets, make sure they're, you know, clean also. Just wash them.
So what we have done... is we've pulled up there. You can park right on Franklin on the side of the wall, and we went up to Natives Against Heroin. They have big tents there, two big tents right in the middle, and they have a flag, or they have a banner saying that nah, and with a design on the flag. And we asked what they needed,
and then we
went and got it and came back.
And then the volunteers came and helped us, you know, take the stuff out of the car and bring it up to, they call it their command post. And they're really pretty organized, you know. We had, we brought some, like, they said they needed, people want deodorant. You know, people want to feel
Never even thought of that.
Clean, right? They want to feel clean. They want deodorant. We went, got a whole bunch of deodorant, and they have it all marked and, you know, little cubbies, deodorant. They have diapers, formula for babies. You know, all kinds of stuff.
And all kinds of ages there, too, now that you bring that up. We've seen little teeny babies.
Yeah.
And, again, it's a housing problem. Mm-hmm. These people should not be living this way. And, you know, people sling around. Let me guarantee you, the people that we talk to would love to have a place to live.
Right. Mm-hmm. Permanent housing.
And they're appreciative. A couple people I'm thinking of off the top of my head are appreciative of all the help that Natives Against Heroin and the groups that are helping bring food in. I know Mike Ozy brings food in. Right. And I know there's a couple churches that do help out. Mm-hmm. And that's important. You know, it's a community issue.
And there was another thing, too, that, you know, to get the doubt out of your mind and stuff like that. If you come with a monetary donation and you go to the right person in the organization up here, either whether it's NAH or the church groups, that money is not going into anybody's pocket but for the wall.
Right. NAH is all volunteer.
Yep. It's all legit. It's all legit.
Right. And we give a shout out for James Cross and all the things Natives Against Heroin have done in the past, whether it's shutting down crack houses, heroin dens, dope dealers, whether it's up in Red Lake or here in the Twin Cities. They have a right to complain about other people not doing anything because they've been doing stuff.
They've been staying on top of it, and from day one, you know, it's somebody has to do it, and James Cross is doing it. It's a dangerous thing out to them ugly streets, you know, and we're worrying about homeless people, they call it, right? But we got a lot of children's out there and stuff like that, and we just got to protect our own like this, and it's a scary thing out there, and James stays right with it.
That's right. You know, and again, we need to put out tobacco. And I know they had a fire for this young woman who died there of an asthma attack. And we have to keep in mind that these are people, if you go there, come there, go there and talk to them. They're in a bad place, and treat them like humans and you'll get it back. And I think that's what the world's all about. And that's to give it away, to keep it. And we try to do that here at Native Roots, and we just we want to help. And so you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back after this short break, and say a prayer for our people.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a Spot On Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one of three American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault.
To Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 91. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 71. Sunday will be sunny with a high near 89 and a low of 70. Monday, a 40% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 84 and a low of 61. Blue Skies Services is the home cleaning company for you. They're bonded, insured, well-trained, and experienced. Right now, window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Skies Services at 651-447-4484 and make sure to ask for the AM 950 special.
We're not able to conduct our proceedings further, and so I'm going to ask just to let us go ahead. I understand.
Your proceedings shouldn't be priority. The people should be a priority. The water should be priority. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for clean water. We're fighting for the next seven generations. We're fighting for all of our people. It's not only an indigenous issue. We're the ones leading this movement, and we're here to stop this line three. The tar sand is one of the biggest threats to our planet right now. You got to understand that this pipeline, if built, it will break open. Tar sand is the most toxic type of oil there is out there. In 2010, in the Kalamazoo River, there was an oil spill, and Enbridge is responsible for that oil spill. It's 2018, and that has still not been cleaned up. They have still yet to clean up the mess that they made. They're not planning on cleaning up the existing pipeline that's there. We are here in opposition to that. We're here to prevent that. You know, like, we can live in a world where we're using renewable energy. Enbridge right now, you know, they're dealing with these stranded assets. That's what it is. It's hitting their pockets, and that's the only reason why they want to continue on with this. And we're here in opposition to that. And we ain't going anywhere. We're not going anywhere.
Hey, you were just listening to live at the Public Utilities Commission meeting this past Tuesday. I want to welcome everyone back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to talk a little bit about what happened at the PUC. But first, we're going to have, who is this by?
This portion of the show is brought to you by Jay Selby's, voted best vegan restaurant by City Pages. Mag Mechanical, on time, on budget, HVAC needs, and Minnesota Indigenous Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Pina Gigi, Wendy. So we just listened to a little excerpt there. I think that's, Choka, you saw some what happened there. The audience had turned their back on the PUC because...
Well, they're doing everything illegal right now. You know, well, we know what Enbridge is all about right now. And you know what the spills that already will happen up in Michigan? They're trying to go ahead and just say heck with it. We want the money, and that's all.
Right. And also, too, I guess what I was trying to get at is that it was interesting during this protest that they had turned their back on the committee, because the committee has turned their back on the people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Wendy, you were at Standing Rock a couple times. What do you think?
What do I think? I think we need a Congress who is not bought off by these multi-billion dollar oil companies and, you know, getting their pockets lined and letting Enbridge and these other big oil companies ruin our lands, you know. So
yeah,
that's what I think we need.
I'm going to read from Tara. Tara's been a guest here, but basically she said that Enbridge has to do as blast through our wild rice, wetlands, watersheds on their way to the Great Lakes, and what kind of insurance they need for an inevitable leak of tar sands in the land of 10,000 lakes. I mean, people have been not only fighting this, but people have been talking about this for a good 2 years. Right after Standing Rock ended and the fires went all across the country, we knew that Line 3, Enbridge's Line 3, would be the next battle. And right. First we were hoping the courts would do the right thing.
Well, the courts aren't doing the right thing.
So what does that mean? Does that mean we get our camping gear ready and get our parkas for our little dogs because we're going to bring them along too? What does that mean, Wendy?
It means that that's what we might do, you know. We have to protest this. We can't let this go through, and we have to really, you know, do our best to stop it. And, you know, these tar sands are also known as oil sands, and they're a mixture of mostly sand, clay, water, and a thick molasses-like substance.
Mm, like peanut butter
and
almost going through those
it's
lines.
It's the worst oil that could leak. If it's going to leak, and this is what it's going to be that's going to leak, it's the worst kind of oil that could leak.
Now, to push that peanut butter type oil through these pipelines, they have to have some sort of toxic lubricant to push that through. And that's never been tested. And that's that's another reason why this is so toxic when these things leak, because they're shooting some kind of lubricant oil to push through the tar sands.
Yeah, it's terrible. It really is.
You know, it's funny. One of the signs on the back of a resistance person down at the public utilities meeting says, public utilities cowards, and they face that towards them. And they adjourned because people were getting heated. Like we heard the young man talk at real news. He wasn't making up what he said.
Nothing he was making up, and they called it a disruption, but they can't handle the truth. And it's really sad. And like you're saying, Chuska, that when that thing gets pushed through, that peanut butter like substance gets pushed through, them seals that are around each pipe, how are they going to guarantee that that's going to hold it back and it's going to spill?
Right. And I want to give a shout out to MN350, the Sierra Club, and all the other organizations that have been keeping an eye on this and an eye on Enbridge. You know, I work, Wendy works, we all work. How are we going to get down to a 9 o'clock meeting during the day? So, I mean, the cards are stacked against us. If we want to say anything, do you want to go to work today, or do you want to take a day off and fight something that's already be preset, this multinational, we already saw a multinational company get their own military through our tax dollars,
right,
and fight Native Americans and water protectors down, beat them down.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and I don't understand a lot of this at all. And but what I can read here is, it just says here, too, on a lifetime basis, a gallon of gasoline made from tar sands produces about 15% more carbon dioxide emissions than one made from conventional oil. Now, why would you do that if it's going to make more carbon dioxide emissions? This is what we're trying to get rid of, you know?
Right. Say you want what you want about Governor Brown, Jerry Brown, but he signed a law by, 2045, that no more gas, gas engines. It's all, you know, and I think sooner, you know? So where is this oil going? And whose pockets are being, it's always followed the money.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and so again, we need to thank the people that took time out and have taken time out, because this has been a long journey. Winona LaDuke, Honor the Earth, those people have been there and sacrificed a lot of time and energy, as opposed to Enbridge workers there that get paid to go down there and wear their lime green shirts and say, you know, this is a great thing. You know, earlier this week, I heard on Democracy Now, and this is a thing we never really talk about, is the injuries from the workers that work on the pipelines. Right. That's a whole other thing that's hidden from all the people out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a whole other subject, that one. Yeah.
Right, but it's a subject that nobody talks about, because these companies have dummy companies that are onto this company, so if somebody gets hurt, it's not up against Enbridge, it's up against this other...
Subcontractors.
Right, exactly.
Subcontractors, and like Robert and Wendy were saying here, that, a lot of our sisters that are down there, like our sister Misty and that down there, they said, please, you know, if this disturbs you like it should, you know, get off your hands, you know, get up off your seat, open your mouth and talk to somebody. You know, this isn't going away if we just sit around and watch this.
You know, we talk about, and Choke of Praise about before the show, we talk about another byproduct of these, and that's the man camps of building these pipelines, and the number one... are murdered in indigenous women that go missing around these camps.
That's a real crucial situation there too, because we see it not only here, but we've seen it up at Standing Rock. We're seeing it now here in Minnesota and down in Iowa now. And that's what that man camp does, is just exploits our children and our young ladies.
So going through sacred lands, I say this every time we talk about pipelines, we probably wouldn't have this show. We probably would not be here talking to you great people out there if it wasn't for Bismarck not denying the pipelines going through their city.
Right.
You know, the prominently Caucasian city said, we don't want these pipelines going through our city. They leak.
Nope, don't send it through Bismarck. Send it through Standing Rock, and we don't care about them peoples over there.
Exactly, and how many years have we been dealing with that?
500 or so.
Exactly.
Same situation.
Exactly. Same situation where we're you know, Halloween's coming up soon, and we're going to see how many people that are thinking that we're...
Costumes?
Dinosaurs, and we're not here anymore. Right. You know, we're still here.
Yeah, we will be here.
And we will be here. And if we haven't been, meaning we, the Native American, Native American and indigenous people, if we haven't been wiped out now, we're not going to be wiped out.
We're going to stay here.
Right. So when, do you got something right there you're reading?
Well, you know, I'm reading this, and not only does the tar sands, when it leaks, mm-hmm. is going to impact the water, the tar sands also impact water supplies. For every gallon of gasoline produced by tar sands, about 5.9 gallons of fresh water are consumed during the extraction, upgrading, and refining process. That's roughly three times as much used for conventional oil. So again,
mm-hmm.
what is with this tar sands? It's probably cheap. It's probably cheaper. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm just saying. But it's usually all about the money. So that's all I can think of.
Right. I know at one time when the price of a barrel of oil was $100, I know they were making tremendous amounts of money when they were fracking in northern Dakota, but that was the magic number. Now, again, we have a multinational company that's coming in here, and it's going to destroy our economy. We're not even talking about PolyMet yet.
Right,
exactly. That's a whole nother show, but this has just came up this week where the Public Utilities Commission, how can you not stand up? You cannot stand up if you have no spine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, physically, literally, you know, we need to pray, and we need to pray for some kind of guidance for this because, you know, starting in the spring, the pipes are already up there.
Right.
Starting in the spring, they're going to start digging, and you know, in Florida, or I mean, Louisiana, it's a federal offense now to protest.
Mm. And this ain't a wonky problem. This is a human being problem.
It is a human being problem. And we need to have a Congress that wants to save the earth as well. So.
Water is life.
Well, check it out. The earth's always going to be here, regardless are we. And that's the thing that people have to remember. We're here for the seventh generation, all our kids and their grandkids. All right, thank you guys for helping me out with this section. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with What Does My Elder Think?
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotments, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And today we're going to be talking with Uncle Curtis, the whatever comes to his mind. This is What Does My Elder Think?
This portion of the show is brought to you by Solar Bear, solar power for Minnesota. Visit solarbear.earth and Ho-Chunk Nation, the people with the sacred voice.
Hey, welcome, Choka Curtis. Can you tell us your name and what the heck you got on your mind?
Aho, Pinagigi, Chujunk, Wendy, and Chuske Robert. My name is Moshke Hanazinga. I walk on white clouds. My colonized name is Curtis West. And, of course, I got to say hi, baby girl. And I want to say ha-ho to all my family, relatives, and friends in Four Directions. You know, I pray all is well, you know. And like I said, Chuske cuts me loose for a little bit on events and stuff like that, kind of soften up things. So I'm going to go with some birthdays and some events. But first one, we're going to shout out to birthdays are this little chick relative. Her name's Allison West, so her birthday down in Arizona, so she's in college now and stuff like that, so happy birthday. And then another one, a good friend of ours, Terry LaDuke, it's her birthday too, you know, and stuff like that. And then there's another one, her name is Cheyenne King. And another one that we'd like to say is to Andrea, you know, Andrea McKee, her birthday is coming up too, you know. And then
thank you for liking all my posts, Andrea.
Yeah, thank you, Andrea. We appreciate that. So tune in. But anyway, you know, there. Like I said, you know, I clown around every now and then, and say there's elders out there. There are a couple guys and women that are about an hour or 2 hours older than me, and I'll be an elder up at the general council this year, so take good care of me up there, you know.
I will. I will. I'll get to sit with the elders because I drove with the elders.
So we're going to say ho and happy birthday to Jeanette Pettibone, Terry Payer, Faye Begay, and Kevin DeCora, you know. And then, like I said, we like to do shout-outs, too, but we would like prayers for, you know, all are affected down there in the East Coast, down in North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, that Hurricane Florence is coming through there, you know. And I know my son, Curtis, his ma's down there right on the coast, so, you know, I guess she boarded up, her and her husband boarded up. So we just hope they're safe. Everybody down there affected by that that storm, you know, so. And then, like I said, you know, we always shout out prayers here for, you know, a lot of things that you know, kind of makes tears come to our eyes here over at Native Roots. And that one that really affects us, too, is that that wall over there, you know, Forgotten Natives over there. You know, it's a tough situation. You know, we pray for something, you know, positive coming their way. And, you know, down there and all the volunteers and everybody helping down there, you know, James Cross, you know, we always think about you and we bring it up, you know. And the other one I always think about is my real good, I call him Chuske. And I like to say hi to Barry Hand, you know, it's just something like that, you know. And
hey, can I jump in there?
Sure.
Barry's doing well elsewhere. Barry and I used to have a all-native homeroom at Harding High School, and this year I have a ninth-grade homeroom, and we won the sports day, the Native American homeroom. We kicked everyone's butt.
See that? See that, Barry?
I told everyone I'd give them $3, and then I did the math, and it's like, wow, that's a lot of money I got to give out.
Barry, you better go half with them, man.
Right. But so I want to give a shout-out, special shout-out to that class.
Oh, nice.
Really, really great students.
Hey, congratulations to y'all over there. And then, like I said, my Chujunk over here brought that up about 9/11, and it kind of made me real sad. But you know, like I was saying about that, and I heard a good story about there over. They had an honor for them, them survivors, and for the firemen and the EMTs and the police officers. But they had a parade over there at Andover yesterday, and they had this. This fire truck out there with it extended out there, and there's a fireman up there waving a flag, and this bald eagle landed in his box up there and just stood there as the other fire trucks are driving by. So
I saw that.
Yeah, it was deep, man. It was really
amazing.
It was really deep. And hey, like I said, I forgot about one birthday for Rhonda Ray Hunt, you know, her little boy. She told me to say, I don't know what his real name is, but happy birthday, 5-year-old Sonny Boy.
Oh.
And then we got I won't say general counsel because this will be too late for that. But anyway, language class, you know, language is real important to us Wongsheeks up here. And so the beginners is going to be on Tuesday at 5:30, and Thursday at 6:30 will be the the advanced. And like I said, you know, you bring something to eat, and I always say it, you know, a broken record, but if you don't bring nothing, just bring your feed bag, because there'll be plenty of food up there. I know Chusuke's going to bring five pizzas.
My mouth just watered.
How is that?
So, yeah, well, we're going to be at the General Council as this show is going on, probably voting for some really good stuff. So I don't know how we're going to be in two places at once, but
yeah, well,
the magic of radio.
Magic of radio, you know, and stuff like that. And the other thing that's coming up here on the September 17th, it's a Climate Justice in St. Paul. Eastside Freedom Library at 1105 Greenbrier, and it's connecting with St. Paul. You know, who cares about the climate justice that's going on? So that's going to be going on in St. Paul. You know, so, and the other thing that we wanted to talk about too was give a shout out to Wong Sheik down there that he's a basketball player. And he got a full ride for the. He's going to go to play at Wichita State for the Shockers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Nice. And on Sunday, what do we have on Sunday? September 16th.
September 16th, we got the Veg Fest at Harriet Island. And I heard that my Chu's uncle will be down there doing something.
Red Bone's going to be there opening up the show, too. They'll be playing, singing for a half hour.
Opens at 11 o'clock, goes till 5. I'm going to be at the Humane Society of the United States booth from 1 to 3. We have lots of petitions for people to sign and some information to give out. So come on down to Harriet Island on Sunday, September 16th for Veg Fest. And you don't have to be vegan or vegetarian.
No, carnivorous are welcome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Stop by.
And the only thing is Red Bone's coming, and come and get your love.
Right. And then the Red Bone singers are going to be there, and I'm bringing special drums for them that are synthetic.
They're synthetic drum heads, right, because, you know.
We don't want to piss off the vegans.
No.
Awesome. What else is going on?
Well, that's about all I have this week.
Oh, I have a question for you, Dega.
What's that, Chujunk?
Do you have an elder saying for us this week?
Oh, I got one. This one kind of awesome. Really hit me on the head today, and it said to remember who you are, you will need to forget what society has tried to teach you what you to be. Culture matters, and be proud.
Nice, I love that one.
That's great. Thank you, Pini Gigi. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you have been listening to this show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops Crow, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear. I would like to thank our listening audience, and I would love to thank Wendy Pilot and Uncle Curtis and also Sam. Hey, Sam.
Super engineer.
That's right. We are still here. We are the seventh generation.
We are awake.